for Lent this year, I may be messing around with everybody, but let me tell you what we're trying to do. We're going to do a study of Galatians chapter 5. I mentioned this at Ash Wednesday. And part of the reason why we're doing it, why we're studying this, is because of what you heard in today's epistle reading, this idea of this conflict. The work of the flesh doesn't want what God and His Spirit wants, and the Spirit wants good and loving things, and that's in contrast and in conflict with the work of the Spirit. That kind of feels like it describes what we're talking about here in Lent. That's sort of one reason. The second reason is, maybe we don't always look at this, but if you look at your calendar, you number up the 40 days of Lent like we just sang about, the numbers won't work out. Did you know that? Because these are known as the Sundays in Lent, not the Sundays of Lent. The Sundays are little breaks from Lent, technically. Now, that's one reason why we didn't sing an Alleluia this morning, but we're going to still have a joyful, hopeful attitude, because the last time I checked, Jesus was already crucified once and for all for our sins, and He already rose again, so we live on the Easter side of the cross, and we live on that more than a conqueror side of Christianity. We just want to get better at that more than conquering thing, and that brings us back to this wonderful study of Galatians 5. One last thought about how to do it. You know, I love that last verse in A Mighty Fortress. God's word forever shall abide, no thanks to foes who fear it. For God Himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. We don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. One Lutheran theologian referred to Him as the shy member of the Holy Trinity. So perhaps that explains it a little bit. We want to understand more of the work of the Spirit and how we let that work happen inside of us to have this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. So that's where we're going with today's message and trying to understand that as well as we possibly can. The first verse, though, of Galatians 5, which we looked at on Ash Wednesday, it's worth us dipping back to here for just a little bit so we get refreshed and clear about it. That first verse from Galatians 5:1 is, I'm going to put it up for you in the Amplified translation if you want to give that a try. If we can move that forward, thank you. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. In other words, what Jesus is trying to get across to us, what God the Father wants with all of His heart to know is, I did an awful lot to set you free. I paid a very high price. My Son's life, His blood poured out on that cross to wash and wipe us clean. And because such a high price was paid, God has this sense of urgency for us to fully live in the gifts, the blessing of salvation that He has given to us. That's what He wants for us. And all of that gets wrapped up in that little word, free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And just, you know, so we really grasp it, true freedom is understanding this idea that we are not just free to do whatever we want, indulge our own sinful nature, as we have in our little graphic there, the old man who wants those things we'll talk about in a few moments. But it is true freedom then to walk in the life that God has given us. Free from sin and free from all that bondage and all of those burdens, so we are free to give and do and love and serve others. That's what He's trying to offer to us. That's His gift. And there is, as the scripture talked about, there's this conflict, right? You felt it before. Oh, I really shouldn't give in and contribute to the gossip there at work or in my little group. But it's just so tempting to share that juicy morsel that I know. Oh, I really shouldn't stretch the truth, but I want people to think better of me. I want them to think I'm really something. So let me just see if I can do a little saltwater taffy effect to the truth and stretch it. We feel that. Now, we're basically good folks right here. We're here almost every Sunday. We're striving to be filled with His grace, and yet these old man temptations keep on coming to us. that list that you heard Curtis read for us before. It's pretty stark, isn't it? You know, just to hear again some of the things on there. Enmity, which means hatred, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Kind of sounds like the evening political roundup, but, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't sound like much has changed in 2,000 years, does it? Those same things are still alive and well and on the evening news for us today. But this other list, this fruit of the Spirit, what a beautiful drawing there, and I'm going to illustrate a point there in just a few moments. This beautiful list, this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the gifts that of what a life looks like that's being led by the Spirit of God, that's being focused in with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is what will flow out of us when we're letting God have His way. When we, like Jesus, pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Now, let's just say a little bit about this idea of fruit of the Spirit. You hear that list, fruit of the Spirit, and all those different items. You think about going into the grocery store and like, well, let me get some love oranges, and let me get some joy pears, and let me get some, you know, we think of different fruits, but it's fruit. It's one fruit. It's because it flows out of one tree. And I think this illustration helps us with that. This idea that if our life is led by the Spirit, then these things come out. One Spirit helps us do all of these things. The works of the flesh, anybody can do and accomplish those on their own. But you and I are going to struggle and never succeed at these fruit of the Spirit unless we let that Spirit dominate our life. So who are we going to let lead? Who are we going to let dominate? There's an old Eskimo proverb that perhaps you've heard where an Eskimo grandfather was talking to his son, telling him, you know, there is a wolf. There are two wolves inside of you. There's the white wolf, the good wolf that wants to do good and strive and serve and love others. And there's the black wolf that wants to be selfish and harm others and do their way. And the little boy, you know, takes this all seriously and asks, well, you know, which wolf's going to win? And his grandfather says, the one you feed. Which one will we feed? Will we feed and be open and humble and receive the Holy Spirit and the gift given to us at baptism, the gift renewed and strengthened to us each time we take the sacraments? Will we let the Spirit be what dominates our life? Or will we be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You harm me, I'm going to harm you back. You sling some mud at me, and I'm going to throw gobs of it your way. Which one will we do? Well, I want to spend a little bit of time with you on the first of the fruit of the Spirit, on love. The world thinks it knows an awful lot about love, but I want to suggest to you that we as Christians have a deeper understanding of love than what the world can ever know. And God's Word tries so hard to make that clear for us. You know, there's actually four words for love that are in the Bible. Maybe you are aware of this. Maybe other preachers have shared it with you before. Four words of love. Love's so good. You know, there's the one word of love, eros, which is the love between man and woman, the physical love that takes place. There's also phileo, the second word of love, brotherly love. We get the city of Philadelphia from that, this sort of mutual, man, my dear, my sister, my brother, I care about you so much. How can I help you? There's also stergo, which is a love, kind of an affection or an admiration between a parent and a child. But this last love, the love that's in the John 3:16 love, and the love that the word that Jesus used in today's gospel, remain in my love, is a word you may have heard before, a little Greek word called agape. It means love between unequals. It means love that keeps on loving even when the other person is not. It means love that says, despite the worst that you do to me, I'm going to still want and work and pray and hope for good for you. It is the love that Jesus showed, that when the world didn't know him and the world his own wouldn't receive him, he still showed love. If you and I went to bring a pan of brownies or an apple pie over to our next door neighbor and they said, I don't want any of your junk, get out of here. We'd turn around on our heels and go home and eat that pie with a Well, what Jesus would do would be to stay there on the front lawn, see if he could find some grass trimmings to pick up, see if somehow, some way, by his continuing to serve, continuing to love, he might get that that angry, self-centered person's attention and then see if he couldn't somehow, some way, help them find their way to freedom and to love and to all that God offers to us. This is what was summed up in that verse in Galatians 5:13. Serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love because that's what Jesus did for us. Serve one another humbly in love because it's love that changes and it's love that frees. Serve one another humbly in love because it's reflecting the very character and essence of who God is and how God works and what God wants done in this world. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Don't use your freedom just to indulge your own flesh, live your own way, follow your own agenda. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. It takes some time to do that. It takes us carving time out of our schedule. It takes an opening of our mind and heart to say, you know, I want to think about that other person. I want to put them in my thoughts and in my plans, in my actions and in my prayers. It takes that intentionality to get above what our flesh would normally want to do, which is, they hurt me. I'm just going to dump that apple pie right there on their front lawn, and maybe I'll set it on fire to boot, right? Notice what comes out of that. We look at the rest of what Galatians goes on to say, that if you and I keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out. Watch out, it goes on to say, because we will be consuming each other. Watch out, because there'll be nothing left. You know, if everyone's right, nobody's left. I don't just mean politically. I mean, if everybody says, I'm right, my way is right, I mean, there's just nobody left because they're all fighting and biting and devouring and destroying. It's sort of a personal level of what we used to call in the Cold War era, mutually assured destruction, right? Russia has all their nuclear missiles. We have all of ours. If you ever launch on us, we're going to wipe you out, so we better not do that to each other. And yet on a personal level, we so often and so freely seem very content to launch our little mini nukes and our little mini insults and our little mini self-centered urges and actions. The works of the flesh are evident. You see them all around you. And Jesus whispers to us in the gospel, remain in my love. There's a different way to live, a different way for us to serve. And what that love looks like, well, it looks an awful lot like Jesus. Jesus who would offer a piece of bread to the one who was about to betray him. Jesus who would wash the feet of all the disciples who were about to abandon him. Jesus who would die on a cross for every human being that has ever turned their back on God and turned their back on one another. It looks an awful lot like Jesus conquering over sin when he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. And it looks an awful lot like Jesus rising up again from the dead, conquering over it all, saying, love, a love that is stronger than death, is what will really make this world, make your world work at its best. That's what he offers to us. That's what he invites us to. That's what this fruit of the Spirit is all about. And may we, depending on God, humbly seeking him and the strength of his Spirit, love where we feel we can't love. Love who we feel we can't love. Love when we feel exhausted and can't love anymore. May his Spirit strengthen us this Lenten journey and always to love as Jesus did. Amen. I invite you to join me now in declaring our faith as we have it in the Nicene Creed.